Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls all over the world, this is the one, the only Game Dev Unchained podcast. I am your host, Larry Charles, and of course, because he asked very politely, I brought back my best friend, co-host, Mr. Brandfan.
Thank you very much for welcoming me back, Larry, for a permanent host position. We have a special guest today, Rosie Katz.
Woo!
Rosie Katz, how's it going?
It's going good, you guys. Awesome. So happy to see you.
So happy to see you, too. So the audience doesn't know this, but we're on video Skype right now, so we can all see each other. Anyway, that has nothing to do with why we're here. So Rosie Katz is a level designer, and she is turned mom, right? This is 3 months of being a mom, I think?
Yeah, no, it's been more now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's 6 months.
Holy crap.
Yeah. And he's really big. Every day I'm like, how did that come out of me? I have no idea.
Blame it on your husband.
Yeah, he gets to go back to work and just like act like it never happened. So is he showing prowess for level design or game design because he comes from two game designer parents?
He might be showing the opposite every time. Well, a couple things. Every time I take my phone out, if he sees the camera, he immediately starts smiling.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I've got him a little trained. I think I take too many pictures. And then if I'm like on my phone or like using my iPad or anything and he's not getting attention, he'll like swat it out of the way.
Oh man.
So,
so cute.
Only child syndrome at 6 months.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
He's probably going to hate screen time.
Okay. Well, hey, you know what? He has plenty of years to figure out what he wants to do with his life. Right now, it's all about you.
Yeah.
So thank you for coming to be part of the show.
Thank you. Yeah.
Just want to tell the audience that she's a fantastic personality and great leader. She worked above me as a level designer on multiplayer for Call of Duty Advanced Warfare.
Thanks, Larry. Yeah, it was pretty much a crazy, wild adventure, right?
Yeah. Some stories we're not allowed to tell on this podcast.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about your backstory, though? Because I know that you worked with the guys at Sledgehammer before they were Sledgehammer. You worked on Dead Space at EA.
Yeah. So I was actually a tools tester. So that's someone who tests the proprietary like tools that the level designers use.
Mm-hmm.
So I tested the tools, and then I got an email that was saying that they were looking for someone who did like character work, mm-hmm. not even level design,
mm-hmm.
And someone who knew the character tools. And I was like, well, I don't know the character tools, but I know the level design tools. So I emailed Condry, and I was in QA, so that's kind of like taboo.
Oh, I was about to say, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, yeah, I don't know this tool, but I know this other tool. And like, they hadn't taken on the tool yet.
Yeah.
So I was really the only one who knew it, like front and back. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I think you guys could use me. And also it was my ticket out of QA. I was like, oh, thank God.
Wow.
So I already had kind of like a rapport with the designers.
Mm-hmm.
There was just two at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them became the manager. So it was really just Casper, you know, Casper.
Yeah.
Nice.
And so Condry interviewed me, and it was like the shortest interview ever. It was just like, yeah, so you know the tools. All right, you're on.
Awesome.
They were really, I don't know if they were desperate or they just like, they had a lot of confidence in me because they knew I knew it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I was in, and then the rest is history. Like as soon as I became a designer, I just kind of worked my way through.
Just shout up.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, and Dead Space was an amazing game. Like,
oh man, Dead Space was crazy. I remember there was this scene where you're supposed to get this needle like right in the eyeball. Do you remember that? It might have been towards the beginning, but
yeah,
I'll never get that out of my head.
Yeah, it was. I have to say that like the combat on that first Dead Space was really good. I thought we did a good job.
Oh, definitely.
We did a good job at sort of like making combat a puzzle, you know, because of dismemberment.
Mm-hmm.
So we would, you know, we'd be like, okay, how can we use these two aliens in combo, you know, and get something where it's like, okay, if you do this to this guy, then let's bring this other guy in and we can use this on, you know, you mm-hmm. get the idea.
Yeah.
But yeah, it kind of made combat a puzzle, which I don't think the later Dead Spaces did as good of a job with that.
No.
Right, definitely.
Yeah.
So you started your career in QA. How long did you do QA before you moved into design?
I did QA for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it was funny because I was a lead back then, but it was such a small team that I only had one person under me.
That's enough.
Yeah.
If you're in front of the other person, yeah. You are leading.
You are a leader.
Yeah, it was fun. I do reminisce about those old QA days because we made the rules, you know, it was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. we basically were getting paid to make fake levels.
Right.
And then they didn't have to be good. There was no pressure, you know. So it was just fun.
Yeah. Sounds like fun. I wish I was on that QA team.
Yeah. Oh, and then EA, like shortly after I left, EA kind of like closed down that department. I think it was like frivolous money kind of. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, oh shit, this department's a little spendy.
These two over here.
Of all the groups of two in this company, this one's the most expensive.
Yeah.
So, well, like, hey, it worked out for you.
Yeah, I mean, coming from an artist's perspective, I've noticed that a lot of, if you want to go on the design track, a lot of people come from QA, right?
Yeah, I noticed that too. Well, I actually went to school for animation.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, towards the end of school, I was like, there's no way I'm going to get into Pixar. Like, it's just way too competitive.
That's you not trying hard enough, Ruby.
So I did apply, but, you know, of course I heard nothing. And I, like, looking back, it's probably like such a laughing thing. Like, they got my demo and I'm like, who is this girl? But anyway, yeah. So towards the last kind of like, I guess the last year of school, I was like, I need to go into games. Like, that's where the jobs are. There was more options for me there.
Definitely.
And so I thought I'd do animation for games. And so I had like a demo reel, and that's how I got into EA, is I applied. Well, I think when I applied for QA, I actually sent them my animation reel.
Well, and that might be a cool thing to do, though. Like, they're like, cool, wow, she can test, sure, yeah. But like, she has latent abilities that we can take advantage of later in animation.
Yeah,
and it's actually like a pretty good story of like, be honest when in your phone interview, because I did get an interview for like game testing.
Mm-hmm.
And in the phone interview, he's like, why do you want to work in QA? You know, like, I think he was kind of confused because I was like a little too eager or something. Mm-hmm. And then I said, well, I really want to like get my foot in the door and I want to meet developers. That's what I said.
Wow.
He was like, well, I'll be honest with you, like, you're going to be in a separate building. You're not going to meet any developers. And I was kind of crushed. Like, I was like, wait, this is my way in. Like, how? No.
Yeah.
And so you
start at the basement.
Yeah, you exactly. Move your way up. It's totally like the basement.
Ugh.
And then I straight up, like, I kind of told him, like, okay, well, I guess it's not for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I passed up the job and I left the phone call. Oh, and then he was like, well, I'll put your resume in the has education pile.
Oh, nice.
And, if anything comes up, you know, we'll let you know. And I totally was like, that's just what he's saying. Like, there's no way.
When he put it in the has education pile, did you notice a plasticky,
sound that like a resonated? What's that paper shredding sound in the bag?
Exactly.
So
I'm scanning it.
I was like, I just lost my only opportunity. Like, I was like, there's no way I'm ever going to get called back. But at the time, the pay was going to be so much less than I was making as a receptionist at this hospital.
Yeah.
I was like, there's like, yeah, it was going to be like, I don't know. I can't remember, but it was like way big pay cut.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to be a receptionist forever.
Ugh.
And then 4 months later, I got a call and they're like, we want you because of your Maya skills.
Oh.
And so I was like, okay, that's a good sign. Like, I'll be using Maya. I'll probably be working with developers, you know?
Yeah. They saw potential, you know?
Yeah.
So of course.
Yeah,
it was, after all, the has education pile.
Yeah, I mean, I guess right. You did look at that. That's what I'm saying, like, about EA having this extra money to spend, because like, there's no way now that they would have a has education pile and actually go back to it.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't know. I doubt it.
The guy probably missed the shot into the trash. And as he was cleaning the pile.
Totally. The janitor saved my career.
Yeah. Thank God for his terrible shot.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too funny. Well, let me ask you this. So going from QA and getting that first break in design, it sounds like you kind of created that for yourself. You said, hey, Kanji, I know this tool. You know, give me a shot. Definitely.
Yeah, well, I knew they needed me.
Okay.
Like, and not just like ego-wise. Like, I really knew they needed me because they were about to take the tool on for the team was going to start using it. But really, they kept coming to me for questions. Like, So the engineer I worked with, he would refer everyone to me to save his own time, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that really like helped me develop a rapport with everyone on the team. So they would just go straight to me if they had a question. And then eventually I was like, hey, can I just like work with you guys?
Oh, that's wonderful.
So it worked out. It was like all about being in the right place at the right time and, you know. And but, being bold, I guess.
Exactly. I was just going to say, but you recognized when the right time was, you know?
Yeah. It's totally like a surfer riding the waves.
Yeah.
Like you got to, when you see the right wave, you got to just like
jump in there.
Like go quick before it crashes.
I like that. I like that. Because, I have some friends who've been, you know, QA for a very long time or who, you know, didn't get out or some who got out, but like, you know, years later. Like I'm talking almost 7-8 years of QA.
Yeah, I think I'm lucky in that way. I do have to say that sometimes QA like thinks that they can get out faster than they can. Mm-hmm. And then they do a shitty job or like they're not focused on their job because they're trying so hard to get out.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in QA, there was a couple people like that would like they'd go schmooze, you know, and try to get and like show their demo reel all the time. And like the developers kind of started to get sick of them. And they started to have kind of a bad reputation. So like there's that too, like just do a good job at your job and then if you see an opportunity, jump on it. You know? Yeah.
So that sounds like a better strategy, especially being a developer now and looking back. Like if the same guy came to me, you know, twice a month, like, hey Larry, check out my new Unreal. Like oh my God.
It's like you're swatting flies. Sort of.
Yeah. Like and you know, you get busy and like the last thing you want to do is really like turn around 180 and like stop what you're doing.
Yeah.
KQA number 562.
See, the way Brandon's talking right now, that's the reason why QA is in like a whole separate building. that's exactly why.
I'm talking about the pests, right? Not the good QA types that like Rosie. Okay.
Yeah, for sure, man. For sure.
But yeah, a lot of QA people end up in design. I don't know. I don't really know why that is. I think it's because, it's good training for design.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You guys like figure out bugs. You have a hand in design, sort of.
Yeah.
I know. It's something I've noticed. And really, it's like it's so hard to take a gamble on a student right out of school to handle a part of the game, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's true.
I don't know how much that will change, really.
It's true. Like, there's a lot of people coming out of school that are like theoretical designers, but they haven't like got their hands dirty.
Yeah,
right?
They read every book on Amazon that they could download for free.
And, right.
they have all this practical knowledge, but not necessarily like actual use.
Yeah. And it's like a lot of hard work. Like it's like extra long hours and that's partly, you know, it's hard to be a mom too and have those extra long hours.
Oh man. Tell me about it.
Yeah.
I remember when I had my kid. No, I'm just kidding. So yeah, so let's bring the baby back into the podcast. So now that you are a mom, you have a whole new job and new responsibilities. Yeah. How are you finding time to kind of honor your career as a game developer?
I'm not. I have to say, like, so I had like a project.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first thing is the baby takes up a ton of time.
Yeah.
And like what sucks is that it's a lot of like downtime. Like you're getting the baby to sleep, so you're just like laying with the baby for hours on end.
Yeah.
or you know, you're playing with him or whatever it is, but it's like it's always these short little chunks of time I have free. Like, I have 45 minutes.
Mm.
What can I do in 45 minutes? And so
you sleep, I'll sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. That too. So it's really hard to, like, get motivated because I know I only have 45 minutes.
Yeah.
But he goes to sleep hella early.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so that's been really helpful. So I did a little side project for a friend, a real estate friend.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so she's selling property and she needed a kind of like a house that was 3D rendered be like, this is what you could have.
Oh.
So, you know, she gave me some specs, like it's 1,200 square feet and, you know, yada, yada, it's a guest house, whatever.
Did you find some of the Call of Duty metrics like sneaking into this project?
Totally.
Like, got to make sure that the window is crouch height and gotta...
Did you show the house with the guy with the gun?
Just yeah, walking? Totally.
Why does this door say trigger on it? What's that?
Yeah, you know what's crazy is like our stair metric is really like to code.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah.
That's great.
So I did that, but I did that at night. You know,
okay.
Went to sleep.
Yeah, your time just gets totally filled up.
Yeah,
kid, for sure.
Yeah.
And just
yeah, but it's starting to get better. You know, like as time goes on, they get on more of a schedule, and I have like larger chunks of sleep time or
right.
whatever. Literally laughing at something unrelated.
It was perfect timing, though. Well, just listening to you guys talk about kids, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to have one.
Yeah, don't do it, Larry.
It's like all I hear is, you know, he doesn't have a schedule yet, and I don't have a lot of time to do projects.
It gets better, man. It gets better.
It does, yeah. It, over kids time.
Tell me about the better. Let's hear about the better.
Well, you know, it's super rewarding seeing him smiling. Like, that's like the biggest thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. It's kind of a cop-out, though.
It is, but it's so true. Like... You know, if you can make your baby laugh, you feel like you've, like, accomplished the biggest thing ever, even though every baby laughs at their parents, but...
Yeah.
I love that, though. You're a good parent to even feel that way. There's a lot of
people... Well, I mean, you know, think of it like this. You're a designer, Larry, so what's the ultimate design of Larry, right?
There you go.
A smaller Larry?
Yeah.
Smaller Larry.
That's going to grow to be
bigger.
You can invoke
emotions.
Yeah. He's your little RPG character. That you got shaped into something.
Oh,
someone... described having a baby to me as having a CEO or like a boss in your house all the time.
Yes.
That's like crazy and irrational and you right. have to make them happy. That's basically what having a baby is like.
Let me sounds tell you what.
Very familiar.
All the years that we spent in the gaming industry, it sounds like I'm well prepared. Oh, man. I've
dealt with many babies before having my kid, so.
But oh man, this is wonderful. Rosie, I'm so glad you came to the podcast.
Oh,
I really
you.
Appreciate this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like for a while we're like about this is our 8th episode. So I had to kind of balance out Larry's baritone voice. And I'm just glad someone has a higher pitch voice.
Oh, there
me.
You go. Yeah.
Yeah. If I don't...
you're the medium tone.
Exactly. I'm finally medium tone, yeah.
If I don't hold back, I'll blow out people's subwoofers.
Yeah.
<I'm> driving to work. And next on the Game Dev Unchained podcast.
What? I can't hear it. It's too low of a decibel.
Oh, man. So, Call of Duty, very big series. And you directly helped on, I can't even tell how many levels by now. Both levels that shipped and let's say levels that scrapped. You've probably had your hand in, I don't know, 30, 40 levels maybe over the two projects you worked on.
Yeah, I mean, over both Modern Warfare and Advanced Warfare. Yeah, probably. I don't know. There was, I'd have to say multiplayer had a ton of scrap levels.
Yeah.
Like, a ton for me. And I don't know if that's because I suck or just because that's the nature of the game. But, like, I had, I think I did a count once of everyone. And I don't know. I had, like, 11 scrap levels. And then, like, 4 shipped.
Okay, nice. So 15 between the two?
I don't know. And then Modern Warfare, I worked a little bit on that Warlord level, which wasn't called Warlord. And then the Manhattan level that wasn't called Manhattan. Like, I don't know any of the shipping names.
Yeah, what's up with that? Why do you guys keep changing the shipping names?
Yeah, what's the deal with that?
Is that a design thing, or is it
so that if
creative?
The script leaks again, people don't know what's what?
Guess
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. That's what I would do.
I just don't understand, man. You guys changed the names last minute. I don't know how to find my own level sometimes.
You know what's crazy is we didn't have, like, in the beginning of modern or of Advanced Warfare, we didn't have on MP, we didn't have like a database of like what the old levels were called.
Oh man!
So the internet actually has like a Wikipedia that has the like PC names, I guess, right. Like I guess you get when you download it or whatever, and it revealed the shipping or the working titles. And so there's a Wikipedia that has all the old working titles that we were able to use. But yeah, like I had no idea. We were just kind of like, well, I guess we'll go to the internet to find out about our own game.
Sounds about right.
Sometimes that's what you got to do.
Yeah. And then Advanced Warfare, there was Defender. So that's the real shipping name. I worked on that.
Nice.
And then there was... Retreat, and then some DLC maps. So I worked on, I forgot the name of it. It was, whatever Lost was. I forgot what we called it. it was like Sector 7 something. It was like a name like that.
Gotcha.
And then I actually, right before I left, I worked on Recharge or something. It's the one that I handed off to Dan.
I know. I don't know what the shipping name for that one was either.
It has to do with... Oh, Overcharged.
Overcharged. With the Tesla coils.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, that level.
So that was pretty crazy because I handed it off to Dan before maternity leave. And then it got arted up while I was out. And he changed some design stuff, you know, to make... And he did make it a lot better. And then... So I saw it when it came out. Like, and it was just like, whoa, this has changed so much. But it's cool to kind of have that time away from it and see the similarities. I was like, wow, you know, I can see my design in there, but it's really cool to have that separation. Because normally I'm there during the art phase and I'm like, you know, you see little by little. And anyway.
Yeah.
Well,
art made it better.
Here we go.
Totally.
So there's a little conflict on this podcast between Brandon representing the art team and myself representing the design team, and then both of us kind of tug of warring either for or against production. That seems like that's the temperature of how things are going over here.
Yeah. Wait, is art considered production?
No, I mean like producers.
Oh yeah.
So clearly, you know, there's a right side, and I'm pointing at myself, and there's always a wrong side that we're arguing with.
Yeah.
See, there's the pampered like side, and then there's the grunts who like actually do the shit. You know?
Right.
I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know.
Sure.
Well, do you want my opinion on producers?
Yeah, please.
Go for it.
I've had good producers, and I've had mostly bad producers.
Oh, what's up, Rosie? Welcome to my side.
But I think that good producers allow you to do your job without all the bullshit.
Okay, yeah. I agree for sure.
And I've had that experience, and it's awesome. So
yeah. There's definitely, I won't say too much.
He can't say too much.
I feel there is like a sort of, at least for the bad producer, like some kind of like thing they have to prove, and they force it onto people.
Mm. Yeah.
And so that's when it becomes kind of bullshitty.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yep.
Well, so. You have to think about. They go to meetings, right? And the boss is like, why don't we have this done?
Yeah.
And like the designer, the artist, they don't see that pressure.
Yeah.
And the producer like has no control over the level, really. Yeah. And so then they're like, well, I don't know why it sucks.
I know.
And then they like want to have some power because they're the ones that have to deal with the emotions.
I think they freaked out when we invented the notepad where we can just transfer notes to each other. They're like,
right. Yeah. It's like super basic work.
So on behalf of producers, because I actually worked in production.
Go in, Larry. Go in. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me try to save some of our audience from just never coming back to this podcast.
I love good producers. All right. Let me note that. Okay.
No, it's totally fair to have your opinion, dude. I'm just joshing. Yeah. I will say this. One of my biggest problems with being a producer is you don't get your hands dirty at all.
Yeah. Right.
You work with people who are getting their hands dirty, and you try to give them whatever they need to not have an excuse for why they can't do work.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I'm looking over other people's shoulder while they're playing with awesome stuff. And I'm like, ah, yeah, looks like things are going well. I wish I could do that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you get jealous, right?
Yeah, I did. I spent a lot of time wishing I was actually doing what I was
doing. So, yes. So imagine that dark Hadoo, like, building up inside you during that period, and let it brew over the next 5 years of your life. You could have went dark Ryu, dude.
But see, Larry, you got out of production and got into getting your hands dirty.
I did. It's what's funny is I interviewed for a design position and I landed a production job.
Seems like a pattern that is happening here. You guys would interview for certain positions and then land different jobs and then come back to design.
But you know what? You have to create your path like Rosie did. Yep. Somehow I knew the same thing that Rosie knew and I had to create my path.
There you go.
But today's episode is about you. We had tons of reminiscing, and we're like 30 minutes in, and we barely scratched the surface on, like, you know, women in gaming, being a female.
Right.
I guess that's the same thing. So you can tell I'm just kind of going off the cuff right now. But the big question I want to ask, because I'm guilty of this, I let it slip all the time because I think I'm so funny. But, like, be real, Rosie, and you're only speaking for yourself. You're not speaking for all women here. You're just speaking for yourself.
Yeah.
If a guy drops an epic, that's what she said, does it, you know what I mean? Like, are we crossing a threshold that shouldn't be crossed?
No,
like, okay.
Not at all. Like, okay. I think all the male humor is, it's like in society, it's not just the game industry, right? So I've been raised with that kind of humor, and I think it's funny, and I can kind of put myself in a guy's head. I get it. It's funny.
See? Thank you.
There's not much in our head, by the way.
And I'm at least nice enough to look at the girl and say, I'm sorry. After, I still want to land the joke. No, I'm kidding. I'm very aware now because it's gotten out of hand a couple of times. But that's one of the questions I wanted to ask. No bullshit, because a lot of people, you know.
Just that one?
No, that's one of the questions.
One of.
That's one of.
I'm sure I share, like, the same, you know, very broad perspective of what a woman would be like in the game industry. Like, I would see that it, I don't know, is it different? Like, I know my experience, I know what Larry experiences like. Is it any more different being a woman?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of things. Like, well, first off, I've made that's what he said jokes.
Oh,
so
boom.
I think it's all fair.
Boom. See? Exactly. Fight back.
Yeah. I mean, why can't you make a joke like that? It's funny.
Yeah.
But I think for me, the biggest thing was, like, you hear, like, because when I started, I never thought, oh, I'm a female. Like, that never even entered my mind.
Yes.
I was just like, oh, you know, when I was a kid, I played Mario and so did all my girlfriends. Like, it's not like, it's no different. So,
yes.
So, when I got in, I never thought about it. But then as things started coming up, guys actually would point it out that I, you know, like, like, they're awkward and feel weird about it. And so then they'll say something like, the worst is, like, in a meeting when someone, usually a boss, enters and he goes, "Hey, gentlemen and lady," just like pause, you know, and you're like, "Oh, thanks for calling me out." Like, you can say, "Hey guys," you know,
and
it includes me. It's fine.
Yeah.
So, like, that type of thing where you kind of get called out for being a female, it doesn't feel very good. And then the other big thing for me personally was once that idea got in my head, like, oh, I'm female, I'm different, then you can go into this kind of negative, dark place.
Oh, no.
And then you start to look at everything as, like, oh, it's because I'm a girl. Like, you know, I'm not getting promoted because I'm a girl, or, like, I'm not making as much as my coworker because I'm a girl. And so I would go into this dark place, and then I started to realize that, like, no, you know, there's other coworkers that are also not making very much and they're male.
Yeah.
And then, like, how much of this crap is crap that everyone's dealing with, or is it just stuff I'm dealing with, you know? So, So for me, it's been more about, like, okay, get out of that you're a girl thing and just, like, focus, you know?
Yeah. That's wonderful. I'm guilty of the like, good evening, like gentlemen and ladies, right? Like, but you know, you think you're being inclusive, right? Like you think that you were negative because you didn't include them.
Right.
And so like you're trying to cover up for what you think is the wrong thing. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
No, Larry, we don't like that. Right?
Well, like I think what it is it seemed like an afterthought.
Yeah.
Like, oh, wait, I just saw there's a girl in here.
Yeah.
Okay. Better say something.
And then you start tying that into everything else. It's like, am I always an afterthought? You know?
Right. And then also, yeah. Work. Yeah, totally. Like afterthought. And then also, why are you going to change what you're going to say because I'm in here, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, were you just going to make a sexist joke and then, oh, you caught me by surprise.
I don't want you to see the real me.
Like, just be yourself, you know? Like, yeah. If you're sexist, be sexist. Like, don't change because I'm here, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like
you're gonna get me fired saying something like that.
Well, that's the thing is, I'm different. I think I don't think every girl's like that. Some girls are very much like you should have noticed that a female was in the room.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go. I mean, like if you're working in any game company, you can look around and see that. Yeah, it's a male-dominated, like industry. And even with students, we have a lot of students listening. You go to school, and it is a male-dominated classroom, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, how much of that, like, wore you down?
Oh, like, my God.
For me, this is what I'm thinking, right?
It wore me down a lot.
I feel like a woman goes into the workplace and probably doesn't get to actually sit down and work until, like, 11 a.m. And not because of, like, poor work ethic or anything like that. It's just the amount of advertising that must be happening from their male colleagues, right?
So
because this is what I'm seeing. So go ahead and explain that, Larry.
So in my mind, when I'm listening to what Brandon's saying, all I can envision is like chicken falling into a river and piranhas just having a frenzy.
I mean, we are a geek industry, right?
Yeah.
And so,
well, yeah, I guess.
How do we operate with this?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, maybe, I don't know. Well, I guess personally, I was raised kind of with a geeky dad maybe. And, and then my mom's also kind of geeky. Mm-hmm. So it's my people. So, you know, I don't feel like, oh God, you know, what did I just jump into this pool of piranhas?
But, I hate to describe it like that. Like the men in the game industry just can't hold back from like, oh, there's girl.
But yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I'll be in a situation where it's like, the thirst is just incredible.
Also, I noticed that way more in college than the work industry.
Okay.
Right.
Because I think there's less rules in college and you're young and immature.
Yeah, we got HR.
Yeah, exactly. Or like at least
in the workplace,
the idea of HR.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. But there's certain women that I see at work and I'm like, oh God, they're like a bunny rabbit. Like, watch out. Like, she's going to get eaten up and she has no idea what she's in for.
Oh,
so I think that like, I probably have set up a lot of defenses that aren't healthy, you know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what do you mean? What kind of defenses?
Well, you know, like I will never show cleavage at work ever.
Oh, right.
Boom.
You know, or not on purpose.
I'm sure that laugh was for that.
I Maybe know he can hear us now.
Josh, your husband, appreciates that.
Yeah.
Well, this is—I mean, like my view, right? My general view is like, just tagging on to that. I've never started at a company where there was a single woman, and then I left a company, and she is still a single woman.
Oh, single.
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 Because it's just too much attention going on.
Rosie had the chance, but I think, no, Josh,
yeah.
While we were there.
Yeah, well, I met Josh at EA.
Right.
So, yeah, that was actually kind of an issue when I got hired, because Josh got hired before me.
Mm-hmm.
And they were worried that we'd break up or something, and that it would affect our work atmosphere.
Yeah.
Like, this is the thing, that's Josh really get that type of
No, well, neither of us are that type of person.
Yeah,
like we're
yeah.
If we were to break up, we'd just be like, okay, we could still work together. Like
yeah.
We keep it professional.
Yeah, and you know, we don't even need to get into the personals, but like that shouldn't even be a thing. You know what I mean? This is a professional industry. Yeah. You know, people are going to be working with, you know, around people all the time.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't affect the work, like you're stopping people from enjoying their lives.
Yeah.
If it's a mutually like both people are like, hey, we're interested in each other. We want to date.
Yeah.
You like saying, oh, the business is going to jeopardize. You're going to jeopardize the business.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Well, is there, I'm not very familiar. Is there like a contract a couple has to write?
No, there's, there is like I'm not supposed to report to a guy that I'm seeing,
that
you
makes
know?
Sense.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because that would be unfair. Like, it would be weird, right? If like, if like I got special treatment from my boss because we're sleeping together.
that's there's usually how it works.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I take that back. I was just being funny. Ha ha ha.
That's terrible. There.
Ew.
That's totally not how I got any of my jobs. So let me ask this. Whenever people think of like women in gaming, whenever you have to bring up a minority in a majority, right? Like, or a minority in a demographic, it almost has this connotation of a negative, right? Like,
yeah,
you know, so let's talk about the positive. What are some of the beautiful things about being a woman in the game industry? You know, what are some of the benefits?
Well, employment. Just kidding.
That's a unisex benefit right there.
Lots of times where I've second guessed my own skill because I'm like, am I only here because I'm female and they need to fill some quota, you know? Mm. But that's not a positive. That's another negative. But yeah, definitely I think females bring a different perspective to things. Personally, like the types of games I've worked on, I wouldn't normally play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm much more of a like puzzle platformer type gamer. Mm-hmm. So the nice thing is that I can bring those elements into the game, right? And then also just like, you know, like for Advanced Warfare, like I prototyped the swimming in Defender.
Yes.
And that's not fighting. Like there's nothing about that is like first person shooter. Mm-hmm. It's like navigation and like, and part of it was like, I felt like it was imbalanced. Like we have so much, there's no like, let's take a little defensive, go under the water.
Yeah.
And like, I'm pretty sure that real combat, there is a lot of downtime, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, I feel like, I don't think that, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like that was kind of a female perspective that got that in there because it's different.
Well, I look at it as a benefit because just like you said, having that other perspective, I mean, if you look at the makeup of the quote unquote gamer demographic now, I should have fact checked this, but didn't they say recently that women have taken over as the...
Yeah, well, I heard that, and here's my theory on this.
Yeah.
So I heard that it was like 57%. I might be wrong about the number, but over 50% of consoles are owned by women.
Owned by women. Yes, that's the headline that I recently read as well.
Yeah, but here's my theory.
Is it taken from the husbands?
Well, kids. So they're probably counting Nintendo, like the Wii U, as a console. Mm. And
oh, damn.
Right?
That's kind of a back... I think they're counting the Wii U as a console.
It's not a console.
You just shitted on, like, all of Nintendo. I'm just kidding. Nintendo, we love you guys.
No, I mean, that's my thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think a lot of women are buying it for their kids.
Yeah.
Ah, I see.
So it might be throwing off the statistic a little bit.
Okay.
But then, you know, like, there's, like, Sims, right? Yeah. Had some crazy statistic. It's, like, a ton of... Like, their demographic is, like, 50-year-old women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
this is just consoles, not phones?
It was just consoles.
It was just consoles. Yeah, I read the same headline.
Phone is crazy women. Like, a lot of women are...
Right. I would imagine so, yeah.
Oh, forget it. Yeah. That's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I said, as a mom, there's a lot of downtime.
Yeah.
Like, I'm on my phone all the time because it's just so convenient.
Yeah.
I'm bored, you know?
Yeah.
What is your favorite mobile game right now?
Oh, I'm not playing mobile games. The thing is, like, I'm usually like on Facebook or something stupid like that,
catching up on life.
Well, then, what is your favorite game right now?
What?
What's your favorite game to play right now?
So I'm playing Yoshi's whatever the yarn.
Oh, okay.
Oh, gotcha. That one's a good one. Yeah.
I like. There's very few games that I 100%. Mm-hmm. And Yoshi's Island back on the GBA or whatever.
Yeah.
That was one of them. And so I'm already starting to get hooked on this one. It's the same mechanics, you know?
Yeah, of course.
And I love it. I love the yarn theme.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the art, yeah.
Kirby's did yarn too, and they did really well.
Yeah, yep. So I'm really into that game right now. I'm trying to think. Oh, Tomb Raider, I just started.
Oh, nice.
That's another 100%er for me.
Dude, Tomb Raider came out of nowhere and just captivated me. It's like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I forgot all about Lara Croft. And now it's like, yo, Lara Croft is the shit.
Yeah, I know. I want a whole game that's just bow hunting.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, yeah. I actually, when I started the game, I didn't realize that it was Lara at the beginning. I think they changed how she looked or something.
Well, they... Let's see.
Talking about the second game?
She has
the one that just came out.
There was some, some gratuitous downsizing that occurred because...
Is that... Yeah, I was like, she still has big boobs.
But they're not like...
They're not
as,
like,
not as big.
They're not Lara Croft.
Rosie, it's not as big, okay?
Honestly, I think that was a great move because...
Yeah. Yeah,
it's more realistic.
It's not about the over sexualizing this character. It's like, hey, you know what? Sure, she can still be sexy, but we want to make a more. We want her to be a hero, right?
Yeah.
Out of an everyday person,
right?
More so than a supermodel who's like, you know, just
well, even on the cover,
there. Exactly.
Yeah, she's wearing more clothes. She's like in winter, so she's got like a jacket on and stuff.
That to me shows a lot of respect, you know.
Yeah.
And I think I love that direction.
But the character is cold and you should put a jacket on her. It's like, wow, we've gone a long way, guys.
Right.
Get this.
That's so sad.
She should actually wear clothes, okay? Like this. That's a funny-ass joke, Brent. I'm not going to lie. Your humor is like, bar none, I got to give you credit, dude. You nail it sometimes, man.
All right, you get the Venmo account later.
Oh,
but no, I actually, her face changed too. Like, I thought she was like a quarter Japanese or something. Did you notice that? Like, she kind of has like,
it completely changed her look. Like, she looks
more olive skin and her lips are like darker.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I love what they did. They turned it around. Yeah.
I will say, in defense of the character change, though, like, as far as some of the like minute details. I mean, we're obviously in such an advanced graphical generation compared to, like, Tomb Raider 3. I think it was the last Tomb Raider I played before these new ones.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, the jump for me is, like, I could barely make out the face to now.
Right. No, I'm the same way. I didn't start playing again until the one before this one.
Yes, yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah, great job, Crystal Dynamics. Good stuff. Way to go, guys. Way to go.
Yeah, one of my college friends worked on it. Go, Tracy.
Hey, Tracy. Great stuff. Come join us on the podcast sometime if you ever listen to this episode.
Yes.
She's an
animator.
I was just about to ask what she does. She's an animator? Awesome. Even better. So we we are at 44 minutes and 9 seconds. That's close enough to 45. If you guys are fine with this, I'm going to allow an advertiser to come in and talk to everybody for a moment, and then I'll kick him out, and we will be right back with more of Game Dev Unchained, the podcast. Hey there, would you like to learn about making video games? Then you definitely need to check out GameSchoolOnline.com. It's the number one place to learn about video game development. We've got talented instructors who are currently industry professionals who are teaching classes and making tutorials to help you become a video game developer today. Ladies and gentlemen, I say ladies first, always, by the way. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to Game Dev Unchained, the podcast. Larry Charles, Mr. Brandon Pham, and our special guest, Rosa Katz.
Yay, I'm back.
She's back.
I had a question, Rosie.
Yeah.
So, you got Preggers.
Yeah.
Preggers.
Around the same time when Netflix kind of came out about
Netflix
with their... Yeah, Netflix got their 1 year maternity full pay and then come back at any time. And then Silicon Valley companies were making a big move, following suit. How was it?
we so did not have that.
Oh.
It's been a little disheartening, I guess. But I got pregnant, and then I was kind of like, oh shit. the timing just worked out, you know?
Yeah.
As far as like work goes, you know, that we were at the end of the project, and I felt like I the timing was good.
So
I went into HR's office and I basically said that I wanted as close to 6 months as possible.
Definitely.
And I didn't care if I got paid or not.
Right.
Because I knew that you know, most companies only offer like 2 weeks for guys.
Yeah.
So.
And one week for women.
Yeah. So I wasn't really fully paying attention, I'll be honest, because I was like, you know, I didn't really care about the pay. I was mostly concerned with the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
definitely.
So yeah. So So I also wanted a month before my due date.
Right.
And then like I wanted really 6 months after the due date, but that would be 7 total. And I thought there's no way they'll do that.
Yeah.
So like 5 months, you know, so she was really good. She pulled out every like state and federal program that there is so that my job was secure.
Mm.
And it ended up being a week short of 6 months. Mm. And so there was, like, we use disability, that's California offered, which is like 50% pay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that was for 6 weeks. And then the rest is all unpaid, like nothing.
Oh.
And then I was like at home kind of looking at the calendar and I'm like, wait, shouldn't I be getting some maternity leave, like some paid maternity leave, you know, from the company?
Yeah.
And I looked and it was 5 days.
Oh.
And how's that, man?
And like I had been given advice from like my doctors and stuff that I should like stay in bed for 5 days after the baby. So like,
well, yeah,
there's no way that if I wouldn't have used the state and federal stuff, there's no way I could have been back to work in 5 days.
Well, it sounded like the company went to the same doctor and said, what is the minimum amount of time they can spend in bed and get to work?
Right.
5 days.
Yeah.
So after 5 days, they can get out of bed. Okay, so 5 days. All right. Boom. Glad we had this talk.
I mean, one of the biggest thing that Larry and I will always go back to is that, you know, the industry isn't set up, and this is for both male and female. Female especially, I feel, that it's not set up for developers progressing in life.
Yeah.
No. It seems like it's meant for straight out of school.
Yeah.
Like someone who really doesn't care about like their personal life at all.
Yeah.
So there's a couple things with that. Like the maternity leave is huge, but luckily we live in California and I had all that time, but you know, I didn't get paid, whatever. I was lucky that I was in a good situation where I was okay financially, but a lot of women aren't, especially if they're single moms. Like, I don't know, you'd have to lean on family.
Right.
And then, so then there's childcare, which is like, that's the main reason I didn't go back to work. Childcare around here costs $2,300 a month.
Oh, yeah.
Childcare is a second house.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And so for me, I had to like ask myself, you know, is it worth it to not see my child?
To raise a kid, yeah.
Yeah. Is it worth it? Is this job worth like only seeing my child from, you know, 8 a.m. until 10 a.m? Because he goes to sleep before Josh gets home from work.
Right, so. Right. And you're asking this to the baby.
Yeah.
Are you worth it?
Yeah.
Say something already.
Yeah, and he just stares at you blankly. Like,
and that's enough. But that's the truth. Like a lot of, being a parent in the Bay Area too, a lot of the, it's like two parents working just to make it work. And they would have like a full-time nanny.
Yeah.
Like that's very normal up there.
Yeah.
Holy
it's like, what is the point of having a kid?
Right. Well, I wanted to be a mom, you know, yeah. Like I didn't have a kid. Well, I don't want to judge because like you do go crazy and you need to go back to work at some point or like, or whatever. You need to do something because
you need to do something else for sure.
Because like all the baby time can make you go absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
But,
that should be a choice though. Yeah. It should be.
Yeah. Option. It would be nice if it was a choice. So yeah, I wanted to work something out where I would work part time, you know, because I do have 4 hours. I actually have 6 hours I could easily put towards work when he goes to sleep at night. But of course, it's off hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, it's not core hours. So, yeah, it just didn't work out. And then another part of it, too, is, like, I know you guys probably are going to cringe a little bit, but breastfeeding, you actually – start to
Larry not... actually smiled bigger.
Stupid.
You start to not produce as much milk when you're not around your baby,
right? The chemistry,
and like some moms look at pictures of their baby when they pump at work and
that I did not know.
Is that
when I first heard that I was like, what? That's crazy. Like, it doesn't just happen. There's that part of it. I wish that if there was childcare on campus.
Oh yeah, man.
No problem. Like I could go down there and feed him and then come back up and it'd be no issue.
I feel like it's almost a crime not to be a Silicon Valley company and not have childcare, especially with how high it is. Like you're practically working just for daycare. I mean, what's the point of that?
Well, there's not just that. There's demand is so high. So like we put our name in to 2 daycares and we still haven't got called back. Like we're on the waiting list.
Oh man.
People can't wait to pay $2,500 a month.
Yeah.
They have a filter that takes all the email addresses from parents. The ones that say @google.com go into one folder, and the ones that say @gmail.com, those go into the trash.
They're like, oh, @AOL. Next year. No, I mean, the 2 different childcares were associated with companies, and the other companies got priority. And so Activision doesn't have any, as far as I know, they don't have any childcare, like, hookups.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it would have been nice to have that. That probably would have changed me coming back, actually.
Well, of course. It's
so, yeah.
Accommodating to your life changes.
Yeah. Honestly, though, I did need more time than even the, like, I think right now he's 6 months old. Right now, I feel like ready.
Yeah.
To go back, but at 5 months, I was just like a month short.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of, like I said before, like a lot of Silicon Valley companies have done at least some research and came up with the year, you know, as a paid leave service. I mean, they didn't do it lightly.
Yeah. Right.
So like between 6 months to a year sounds about.
Yeah. Well, you're you're supposed to breastfeed for a year.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
So, I think that's probably where the number came from.
Yeah.
And that's what Sweden does, apparently.
Yeah.
Everyone.
The Swedes.
Yeah.
When I think about things like, you know, paid maternity leave for the 6 months or even a year, or, you know, some sort of in-office childcare or even just in building, right?
Yeah.
Those type of things, I think, would make it a lot easier to attract senior level or long-term commitments from developers.
Right.
Because you can start to make long-term plans if you know that, hey, yes, one day I do want to have a family. And look at this. There's this for parents. There's this for parents. There's this. And it allows me to stay here and do my job. I think those are incentives, right? A lot of companies look at it as costs instead of incentives.
Right.
Well, that's where the problem lies, is like you're essentially losing good designers because, you know, they're doing stuff outside of work.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I hope I was a good designer.
Oh, you were, Rosie.
You were, yeah.
I loved working underneath you because, like I said, you had my back and you were great. I could walk up to you and be like, hey, Rosie, this. And you'd be like, yeah, Larry, that. And like, boom, we handled that shit, you know?
You got a question, I have answers.
Boom. Like, you're an incredible lead. I definitely think you should go to work as soon as possible, however you can. If it's in the cards for you, you were great at your job.
Awesome.
If it matters to me, to you, that I say this.
Yes, it does. That's good to hear. Yeah. It's been so long, I kind of like, I forgot, you know, like you kind of get in the baby zone and then Now I'm like looking at mommy blogs and like I've kind of lost sight of the industry a little bit. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it definitely feels like a part of me is missing, you know, mm-hmm. I'm not being true to myself completely. Mm-hmm. So it's good to hear that. Yeah.
Well, let's take a couple of minutes to talk about some of the listeners who may be, you know, young women going into the game industry. Are there any words of wisdom or advice that you can offer to help prepare?
Yes. Well, first off, like, be aware of your maternity leave option, like benefits, mm-hmm. before you go and get the job. Because I know, like, when I was starting work, I was like, maternity leave, I won't need that, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Or like, it was just so far ahead. And also, I think a lot of women assume, oh, we get 3 months paid. I think a lot of people just assume that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's not, they're not legally obligated to give you anything. So anyway, there's that. Like, be aware of the benefits of the company. And if you don't have them, just know, like, okay, well, I may need to pay for that outside, or like, be prepared. The other thing is, like, work on a game that you'll feel good about. Like, I kind of felt trapped for a while working on these like AAA titles where they're pretty, like, you know, the fan base is male.
Yeah.
And like, after a while, it kind of becomes this like testosterone like cluster, and you're just like, I just want to work on a game that's like true to myself, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, don't lose yourself in your job, I guess. And then the other thing is to just like be bold. Like, you know, like, if you don't agree with something, like a design, if you're a designer, like if you don't agree with like a design and you can see a better way, like, say it. Like, don't be quiet, you mm-hmm. know, like, don't think that, that you don't know best, you know, mm-hmm. like you might actually know best. 'Cause a lot of times guys actually look to, I've noticed guys will be like, what's your opinion on this? You mm-hmm. know?
Like the whole group.
Yeah. And it's not that you know best or you don't, but you're just a different opinion that needs to be heard, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Especially for design, it's so important to get different opinions.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's super important. And then, like, don't be afraid to, like,
say no to the guys.
Yeah.
Brandon, I mean, it's almost like you were like once a girl or something, because you've just been spot on.
I am observational.
Do you have a daughter?
I see one girl, and then I can actually barely see her because there's groups of guys that would follow her throughout the company. Is there day to day stuff? No,
no.
I mean, it sounds like most of it is pretty nice. We're well behaved.
And I've been very fortunate that the guys I've worked with have kept it professional. Like, mm-hmm. and oh, another advice thing that I've heard someone else say, and it's so true. Find the people at work who will defend you. Like, find the people at work that will build you up and like that are on your side, and really like use them.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a story with that?
No, but it's just true. Like, there's, I feel like, on MP especially, we kind of had the way the cubes were formed, you know, we had our hexagon or whatever. Yeah. And I felt like everyone had each other's back, you know, and we, like, it was really important. I think when you kind of need to start pitching ideas and stuff like that, that you have someone else that will speak up for you. Like, you know, that will like come to bat for you. Like, you know, because sometimes, and I hate to say it, but like, I felt like there were a lot of times where I had a design opinion on something and no one listened to it. Mm, no one took it seriously, or like, even but then someone else would come up with the idea, same idea, and it'd be like, oh, we should do this. It's like,
the same words reorganized in a deeper tone.
The guy is just staring just off brilliant. The clouds.
Right.
Wait for you to stop talking. He's like,
did
you
notice
just,
that, Larry, or is it just the girl thing?
Well, no, it's, I don't want to derail this, but like, also coming from a minority standpoint, right? Like, I think in any sort of minority case, you run into that because I had a complaint, and I've even brought this up to you, where I was like, man, like, people would ask for something. I would say something, I'd immediately get shot down. Right.
Yeah.
And I keep note of every time I just got shut down. 2 weeks later, I'm looking at in the same meeting, and I see the thing that I said like on the screen, and it's like, are you fucking kidding me?
That might just be a designer thing. I don't know. Like, it has to come from a producer.
I'm looking at two minorities right now, and
I'm looking at two minorities right now. What are you trying to say, Brandon?
Hey man, Asians aren't minorities in the game industry. I'm sorry. We're winning.
You're grandfathered in, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, this has been such a great talk so far.
Yeah.
Before we end that last statement, I want to bring it back to you, Rosie. Have you ever felt like you've had to communicate in a very specific or almost like apologetic way? Because
to bring up ideas?
No, so like I read a lot of articles about, you know, many different issues and things that people are fighting for or against just in general. And one article that kind of struck me was this woman was saying that like she was more effective when she would present herself in a non-confrontational, authoritative way. But the joke was a woman being confrontational and authoritative was just a woman saying what she had to say without being sorry for or without being unsure about it. Right. So like if she said, this room should be blue, that came across as her being aggressive or authoritative.
Right.
If she said, hey guys, I don't know, maybe like I kind of feel like this room should be blue.
Yeah. I can see that.
It's that's a big WTF in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you say that. There's a couple things I have to say. So one is I always say I feel blah blah blah.
Oh, right.
Because if I, you know, people get really defensive in the game industry, like in design meetings and stuff.
With ideas?
Yeah. Sometimes it can get a little defensive. And so you have to like, even like in college when you're doing like constructive feedback on art and stuff, it's almost kind of better to like it softens the blow, right? If you say, I feel
the compliment sandwich?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or compliment sandwich. Mm-hmm. But I am super surprised. I did once have the feedback that I was combative.
Wow. What? Rosie, combative.
Yeah, and I was like super surprised by that.
You could have been a millionaire. That's a lawsuit.
Yeah, because like I.
What does that even mean, combative?
Yeah, it was. We're having discussions. It had to do with like how I worked with certain people that I didn't agree with, you know. And I guess I came off as combative. But the thing is, I don't see myself that way at all.
No. Anyone who's listened to an hour of us talking to you, the last thing they would say about you is you're combative.
Rosie's all smiles, man.
Here's how the conversation went down. Hey, Rosie, I think you should do this. I don't agree. Whoa. Rosie, hey.
Whoa.
Hold on now. This is collaboration. Why are you getting all aggressive?
Yeah, I mean, I just learned from the guys.
That is so crazy. That is true.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's like, to be fair.
To be fair,
the situation, I did have that combative energy, you know, like I was pissed off.
Okay. No, Rosie. you're apologizing again. Like two guys who have a conversation, that would never be brought up.
What I think. I think if guys are pissed off, it's okay. But if girls are pissed off, it's not okay.
It's a problem.
Yeah.
That's whack, man.
I mean, I can see that, like, you stretch that out throughout a career, you know, it's just going to keep coming back and haunt you in some form, right?
Well, and you know what makes a person super combative? Hearing repressed. That they're combative.
Yeah.
You know, that's interesting.
It's like being told, hey, like calm to down. Right now. When someone tells you to calm down, the first thing that happens is your blood boils.
Yeah.
Like right away. Relax.
I don't think the game industry is fully equipped to deal with parents.
Yes. I mean, the game industry is like, what, 40 years old?
Yeah.
So we're very behind on certain things.
4D? Yeah. 4-0?
4-0, right?
Okay, I just making sure. I thought you said 4.
No.
I was like,
come on, Larry.
Well, hey, dude, that's why I had to fact check. I was like,
we're 8 episodes in. But yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things where I don't know if it's going to get better. I mean, there's like a lot of different issues as is. Like, I don't know how many AAA companies will be left before we can become a Netflix.
Right.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You think about it that way.
I think it's also it's just made more apparent because we're in Silicon Valley. Like, yeah. if if we were in a place that costs less to live,
yeah,
you know, like me working or not, although I want to work, I mean, it's not as big of a deal.
Right.
Right. But whatever. I don't have a choice.
Well, let me ask you this question. Do you feel like you get paid less than you're worth?
No.
Okay.
I think that's a lot of it. You got to factor that in too. Like, there's a lot of like, there's a bunch of articles where like, I feel like where the male counterparts would be more aggressive during the negotiations.
Oh, that's the main reason why.
Yeah.
I tried to negotiate when I came in because I knew that.
Yeah.
And it didn't work. I'm a horrible negotiator. I was like, I think I should get this much.
I feel like I should know.
Yeah, it was probably like, I think I'm supposed to make more than this.
Whoa, Rosie, not so bad. Don't be so combative. We're just having a friendly conversation with Sally here. Why are you yelling numbers at me? So, like, picture this. Larry coming in as a female in the industry.
Ugliest female ever.
Right now. Like, is there warnings? Is there takeaways from this that you would advise right away?
Don't.
Pretty much if you were to talk to yourself years back.
Well, just a warning. Like, I think if I would have had a warning that my spirits would be crushed.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Holy shit.
No.
That's the realest thing I've ever heard.
No, because you come in, you're so, like, you have happy. No idea, you know? And I think, so just, like, know, having that warning that, like, hey, don't let anything get you down. Okay. You know, like,
yeah.
keep up the fight. Like, your intuitions are right.
Right.
Like, if there's something you believe in design-wise, like, go for it. Prototype it. If you can't communicate it in a meeting, like, just do it, you know? Mm. And because that's been my luck. Like, sometimes I'll just do it, and then it's accepted.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Just keep up the good fight and don't give up, you know.
Way to turn that into a home run. I was like, oh man, that's your spirits will be crushed. That's the game for a girl.
For both, right? I mean, I had high expectations coming in.
Like, yeah.
I felt like I had like this fairy tale in my mind where once I get in, I'm playing games, I'm loving games, making games. Yeah. But like as I aged as a male and had kids and got married, I just quickly realized, holy crap, how many more years am I from retirement?
Yeah,
like, how is this going to be possible?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's really hard on your soul. Because, as a creative industry, you put so much of your heart into it.
Yeah.
So, that like...
And every... I think everyone gets to this point, right? You guys can tag on or not, but I felt like... as I was progressing in my career, you would kind of meet your younger doppelganger.
Totally.
And it's like, holy crap. This guy.
Yeah, so motivated.
Me. Yeah, he's so spirited. And I'm just there with my needle popping the balloon and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm doing you a favor, son.
And I think, like, advice for us oldies would be to try not to burst that bubble, you know, like,
yeah,
sometimes that like naive kind of like
it's great. Yeah
it really brings a fresh ideas and stuff.
But like a lot of it is just like, hey kid, you know, do stuff after work.
Yeah.
So that you know, you build something for yourself,
right?
What I'm taking from you guys is the game industry kind of has these long, dark tunnels that you have to get through. So let the people who still hold on to sunshine hold on to it for as long as possible.
Exactly. Yeah. Totally.
Boom.
And also, there's something to be learned for their sunshine, you know? Like,
yeah.
Because that's they probably have a closer attachment to gamers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I really do feel like AAA is meant for the youngins. And then hopefully by the time any development becomes more of the norm and more manageable,
mm-hmm.
that's where we're going to be hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. It just fits us better. We can be at home.
There you go.
I can't wait till all the people I know and respect as game developers all have their own small companies of like maybe six people working remotely on really cool, fun, innovative games.
It's the only way. Like, yeah. That's how I see it, because most people will buy $61 games.
Yeah.
That's 60 different development teams you could be supporting. So yeah. It's the only model I'm hoping that it would work. And I'm seeing it, right? I'm sure, Rosie.
Yeah.
You know, years before, we used to have, like, you know, our third connection just hit it off indie-wise, and now we're knowing, you know, our neighbor is successively going indie and stuff, so.
Yeah, yeah, and, you know, apps and stuff are kind of big, too, and they're much smaller.
Yep. Yeah. The taboo is almost completely gone. Like, I think we said this before, but it's a great time to reiterate it. Remember, like, 15 years ago, someone was like, oh, yeah, I'm going indie, and you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, something must have happened.
Good luck.
And now it's like someone's like, "Oh, I'm going indie," and you're like, "Wow, you see the light."
Yeah.
Or like, "Oh, you must be like super motivated."
Yeah.
I wish I could do that too. I get more of that than I get that like ooh face when I tell.
Yeah, definitely.
What. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, cool. Miss Rosie Katz, it is 1 hour into the podcast. At this time, we always turn over the microphone and the audience to you. To promote or talk about or any, you know, shout out to any one thing that you want, because we've been asking all the questions. So here's your time to tell our audience about anything that you're involved in. Shout somebody out, shout something out, just whatever you want. You get, the floor is yours.
I mean, play that Yoshi Yarn game. It's freaking awesome.
Boom. Way to save it. Nintendo is back on your side.
Dude, Nintendo's amazing. Yeah. And I just heard that they are... they're like going into cell phone stuff.
Yes,
yeah, so
that's long overdue, man.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I don't have any personal projects I'm working on right now, but my next goal is to learn Unreal 4. I'm excited about that. Check out that marketplace they got going.
Rose is sharing the wealth.
Yeah, so those are my two things on my mind right now. Oh, and Tomb Raider. Gotta play
Tomb Raider. And shout out to your friend Tracy, right?
Yeah, Tracy.
Tracy, woo! All right, well, this has been another wonderful episode of the Game Dev Unchained podcast. As always, I'm your host, Larry Charles. I'm going to get out of here because the mic is mine first. Peace!
Hey, thanks for joining us. This is Brandon. I'm out.
See ya, guys. Thanks for having me.